In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Deacons are ordained to serve. So, when I was ordained nearly 19 years ago, I accepted the ministry of servanthood, following Jesus, the Good Shepherd and Master Servant. I made a promise at my ordination to serve all people, especially the poor, the weak, the sick, and the lonely. And for almost 19 years, my friends, I have been praying and working hard to be a faithful servant of Christ. The truth is, I love being a deacon. I love being a deacon not only because I can wear this colorful sash, but I love being a deacon because of what it represents, which is servanthood. I love being a deacon because by serving others, the helpless especially, I am serving Christ Jesus. That's what today's gospel is all about. In our gospel reading from John, Jesus calls all of us, not only deacons and priests, all of us, to this ministry, to serve God, the Father, and one another. Serving others is what Jesus demonstrated to the disciples on that very first Monday, Thursday. Something that was specifically a job for servants. According to John, the gospel writer, after Jesus had washed the disciples' feet, he put on his robe, returned to the table and said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." I'm sorry to say that tonight we will not have for washing, real Father Todd. COVID makes that happen. "For I have set you an example," Jesus told the disciples. "Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." You see, with those words, Jesus calls all of us, clergy, laity, to a ministry of servanthood. That's what you and I promised to do when we were baptized. You do remember that, don't you? Unless you were a child, and in that case, your parents and godparents spoke on your behalf, you made three promises. One of those promises was in response to this question: will you seek and serve Christ in all things? That was the question. And your answer, "I will, with God's help." The Apostle Paul also reminds us in Galatians 5 that all Christians are to serve one another in love. Paul goes on to say, "The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. And believe me, my friends, if there was a time when we needed to show God's love by serving the less fortunate in Glassboro, that time is right now. All around us, you see, people in great need. In South Jersey, 1 in 5 children is food insecure, it says. That is about 57,000 children who might be going to bed tonight hungry. And about 196,000 adults live in food insecure households in our community. That is Camden, Burlington, Gloucester counties. So, church folks must not close their eyes and ignore the cries of brothers and sisters in a hurting world. Today, perhaps more than ever, we need people in church to serve and to commit to servant ministry. Sometimes this is not an easy thing to do. You have people thinking about the money, how much it will cost, and can they afford it? Especially during increases in unemployment and other economic hardships brought on by the COVID-19 global pandemic. Others think about how much time it will require to run a soup kitchen or a food pantry like Kitchen of Hope, instead of thinking about the struggling people who have little or nothing to eat. So it is not surprising to hear a lot of excuses when someone tries to start an outreach program in church. Here St. Thomas, at the beginning of Kitchen of Hope 10 years ago, we heard many, many excuses. Nobody in Glassboro is hungry. Don't listen to that. People are suffering right here in Glassboro. And as Pastor Rick Warren writes in his best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he says, in our self-serving culture with its me-first mentality, acting like a servant is not a popular concept. Being a servant is not popular because it is so contrary to our selfish, sinful nature. As humans, we want to be first and not last. We want to be served, not to serve. But Jesus taught that in his kingdom, true greatness is not a measure of self-will, but rather self-abandonment. Our Lord says, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Jesus himself taught that the truly great people, the people we should admire and emulate, are those who humble themselves and serve others. You see, my friends, Jesus taught us as children of God, we should follow his example and serve one another. In Matthew 20, we read, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So my friends, during this Holy Week, I want you to know that we can show the world how much we love Jesus by the way we treat the less fortunate among us. Let me share with you briefly 3 basic characteristics of true Christian servants found in Pastor Rick Warren's bestseller, The Purpose-Driven Life. First, genuine Christian servants think of ministry as an opportunity more than an obligation. They actually really enjoy helping people in the name of Jesus. They obey Psalm 100, which says, serve the Lord with gladness, because experience has taught them that joy comes from ministry to others. Their relationship with Jesus and their obedience to his commandments have led them to understand that serving is in fact one of the purposes of their Christian lives. And that the early Christians in Macedonia who shared the little they had with the needy believers in Jerusalem, we right here at St. Thomas, who love Jesus, must be willing to help others, because we know that when we see a need, what we are really seeing is a chance to join God in his work here on earth. So when we see someone who is hungry, hurting, or lonely, we must help that person. In this way, we obey the tradition in Galatians. Whenever we have the opportunity, we have to do what is good for everyone, especially for the family of believers. My friends, a second basic characteristic of general Christian service is this. Servants think more about others than they do about themselves. They understand and obey the teaching in Philippians 2, where it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. That, my brothers and sisters, is a humility of love. As the noted missionary Andrew Murray, who considered outreach the chief mission of the church, once put it, the humble person is not one who thinks merely of himself, he simply does not think of himself at all. The most mature disciples follow the example of Jesus, who emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. My friends, my brothers and sisters, loving our neighbors and serving God may involve small things like sending a birthday card or even an anniversary card to someone in church. Showing Christian love could even be sending a get well card or a sympathy card to the sick and bereaved. Loving and serving a brother or sister in Christ could be quietly saying a little prayer for someone desperately in need of prayer without telling anyone. My friends, when we do these things, we are serving Christ. That's what we hear from our Lord. My friends, on this Monday, Thursday, let us pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to be not only faithful believers in Christ, but good examples of servanthood. Because you and I know Jesus, and because we understand he loves us so much that he died for us on Calvary's cross, we must be more willing to love and serve the Lord by serving others. Let me leave you with what Jesus told the disciples the night he washed their feet. He says, very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, he says, you are blessed if you do them. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.